loves. It is Lala Kent
with Randall,
my fiance.
Yes. Well, today we have, first of all, two exciting things happening.
Yes.
Pretty epic. I think this will be a milestone podcast.
I do too.
I'm going to let you say the second thing. I'm going to say our guest.
Okay.
So we have a guest on today that has been completely, not only just, there's just too much I want to say about her, but I'm just going to say she is epic, classy, and one of the most badass women in business I know. She is just been so successful and such an influence in your life. She's changed your life in so many ways.
Very true.
And that is the incredible Lisa Vanderpump.
Yes, the woman that single-handedly made me just, I was Lauren from Utah. Now I'm motherfucking Lala Kent.
Boom.
Because of Lisa Vanderpump. So yeah, she's pretty badass. She's pretty high up there on the people that I appreciate list.
So now everybody knows that Lisa's on. So that,
yes.
So we have set this up. Now, we had called Lisa recently and we said, Lisa, we want you to come on this podcast.
Yeah.
We have a surprise for you. She doesn't know what the surprise is, and she has no clue, because I just said it's just something fun. It's not that big of a deal. You're come on. We've been trying to get Lisa on for like 2 months in her schedule and COVID.
I know. She's like busy. I don't know what she does all day, but like she's like a busy person.
So we were successful finally, because Lala's like, babe, stop harassing her to get on this podcast.
Well, the thing is, I don't like pressuring people. Randall is the best at it. Randall is like which is why he is who he is, because he just pushes people until they're like, fine. Where me, I ask one time, and if you don't respond, it's like, okay, we're good. Or if you're like, I can't do it, I'm like, all right.
Oh, no,
totally
you retreat. You retreat.
I retreat. Right. I like take it a little personally, where Randall doesn't give up.
No, I have no shame in my game. When it comes to getting guests on this show, it's like producing a movie. You just go for it and you just keep going for it until they basically...
That's how he got me. I told him no 100 really? Times and he was just persistent. And now I'm marrying the guy.
It's fucked up. Okay. Thanks for that.
I'm just kidding.
Thanks, babe. I'm going to pivot.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
No, I know, honey. Okay. So that's the first surprise. And that is very special to have Lisa on the show. So I don't want to take care away from that. But now, Lala, you're going to tell everybody what the surprise that you're going to surprise Lisa with.
Oh, I'm like shaking right now because I can't believe that it's a real life thing. I'm really emotional.
I know. It's okay.
Let me gather myself.
By the way, so everybody knows, if you're not watching this podcast or any snippets of it, Lala has tears flowing over her eyes.
I just
already.
Like, I cry about everything. But today it's very much happy tears. By the way, today is my 30th birthday, and I can't think of any other way to celebrate than with you guys coming through your headphones and speakers. And for my 30th birthday, I had the best gift given to me. My body also helped out, too. I am pregnant.
Yeah!
Whoa! Yes.
Lala Kent, a soon-to-be mother.
I am. And I'm like so excited. I feel very maternal and motherly. And it's just, I feel, it's very interesting. And I'm going to try not to bawl my eyes out. I cry about everything, by the way, Tim. Like I look in the refrigerator and it could be empty or full. And I'm like happy or sad about it. I don't know. And I just, it's like life is really hitting me in the face. All right. It's like, holy shit, I'm turning 30. There's something living inside of me growing, which is in itself, like, what is this alien thing happening? And I'm life is changing very quickly. And I don't love change, even though it's all great things. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm a kid still. How am I having a kid? A kid having a kid.
You never get used to it, by the way. And first of all, congratulations.
That's
amazing news.
By the way, Tim, Tim, you're so good at listening and then responding. I suck at it. And I want to tell all the fans, I have been training myself for the last 2 weeks to listen and then respond. So I encourage all of you to tune in and let me know if I am listening and then responding, because that is not something I do in my regular life. So Tim, carry forward, my friend.
I will be your listening sensei.
Yes, I love it.
So
now I'm listening again. I'm waiting for you guys.
Okay, I want to say I want to say something. So yes. Lala, so I'm going to tell you guys something. So we just recently found out. Obviously, we it was very early and we weren't sure of what was going to happen. And Lala has been keeping me posted daily because I guess there are charts on the internet where it says the evolution of your child. Now, I didn't really ever know about these charts that did this. So she called me up, I think, after the first couple of days, and she said, we have a baby squid in my stomach.
I was like, it looks exactly like a shrimp.
It's a shrimp.
And it is so damn cute.
She called it a shrimp, and then it went to a squid, and it's moving forward. And when does, can I ask you a question? Because obviously you know how excited, and we talk hourly about this. When do you stop calling it a shrimp, a squid, and fish type names? When does it go to a baby?
I had a doctor's appointment yesterday, and the heartbeat, you guys, I just want to hear that for the rest of my life. If I could just hear that heartbeat forever, I'm chilling. I told Randall, I'm like, whenever you're having a heart day, you just remember the heartbeat and you will have the best day ever. But now it's like the size of a gummy bear. The cutest gummy bear I've ever seen.
See what I mean? It's always food.
No way.
Right? Yeah. It's like
it's a pea.
It's a pea. It's,
a raspberry.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always food.
Very weird.
I didn't notice that, but now I'm thinking about it. You're right. It is always food. And is it a gummy bear now?
It looks like a gummy bear. And maybe it's because my doctor was like, let's see this little gummy bear. Because, it's like little arms are out and about. But it was so cute because yesterday, and it could have been in my mind, but we'll just pretend it was really happening. It was like twerking for its mama. It was like showing out on the sonogram yesterday. It was so cute.
It was. It was. I
That's what it's called, right? A sonogram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I'm turning into such a mom.
Will you spell sonogram for us?
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do the spelling bee today. That's next week. I wanna ask you something because I would love to hear because I haven't asked you this yet. What would you say to your newborn, that's the wrong thing, because what would you say to your soon-to-be new child today? What advice would you give our child today if you could talk to him?
Oh, that is hard. I think it would depend on if it was a boy or a girl. I think I'd be much more delicate if I knew it was going to be a chick. But honestly, I think the one thing would be like, you're safe with me. This world is going to really try to kick your ass, but I got you, boo. I'm going to kick its ass for you,
I love that.
As long as my kid always knows that it's safe,
yes,
I'm chilling.
So that, I have a question then. Are you going to find out whether it's a boy or a girl?
Yeah, yes.
She wants to decorate. What are you talking about?
I don't know how these people are like, I'm not going to find out until it's born. I'm like, I would lose my mind.
We did it twice.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't handle it.
I don't know. It's,
I
couldn't Sarah handle just, it. Sarah was so freaked out by the prospect of giving birth, as any woman should be. I identify with that. That she thought that having that surprise at the end of that process would be a good motivator for her.
We're going to say no.
I respect it. I'm definitely having to find out. I have to.
I respect women, but this is your show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is the Lala show.
It's my body. Don't tell me what to do with it.
Yeah.
I get it.
We actually already planned that in a few weeks, we're going to know.
Don't tell them how we're going to do it.
I'm not going to.
Because I don't want to post that on my Instagram.
I'm going to leave those moments for you. You're the boss. But we are going to know in a couple weeks, and we've already planned how to do the gender reveal. You're going to be there, so it's going to be really fun.
I will be honored.
Yes. It'll be the best day ever. Well for me. And then you guys all better pretend it's the best day of your life, too. Yeah.
Okay, now let's talk about the day that you did find out about when you were pregnant and how you surprised me and the kids. Tell that story.
Okay, so we had bought a pregnancy test, and I'm weird about pregnancy tests because I've bought them before, and then you do kind of get bummed out when you pee on it, and it's like, not pregnant. You're like, oh, shit. So, like, it was just sitting there. Randall, my mom, and London went off to do their thing at camp.
Where? We were at Camp Highlander?
Camp Highlander. You got to get the plug.
Plug.
They went to do archery. Riley, my little soul sister, was like, I'm trying to take a bath, the six-year-old. She's in the bath doing her thing, and I'm bored, so I'm like, I'm going to take that test. And Riley says, you know, is it a test for your health? Because if it's a test for your health, then you got to take it. So I was like, all right, we'll take it right now. So I do my thing and I'm sitting there waiting. She's in the tub. It's like just a bathroom, you know, and it pops up pregnant. Okay. And I look up at Riley and I was like, do you know what this means? And she goes, what? What does it say? I was like, this means Lala's going to have a baby. She stands up, screams, you're going to have a baby. We got to tell my dad. We got to tell my dad right now. And literally.
Hold on. Let's rewind. So I'm at archery at Camp Highlander where there's no reception. And yes. And I want to preface something. Lala left a little a special little trinket out. The night before, she said, should I take the test? And I said, absolutely not. We are having the greatest trip with the girls, with your mom, with me. We're going to wait till we get home. Because if you're not pregnant, it's going to be a spiral depression. And she looked at me and said, baby, you're right. And I was like, great. So I go off to battle. I go off to the archery range with mom, who thinks she's a pro archer, with London, who thinks she's a pro archer. And we go off and do archery. No reception. Meanwhile, we were there from archery, went down a lake.
Four hours. Riley and I just sat on the front porch.
Waiting.
And I kept saying, like, let's go inside and, like, let's try to watch TV. And she was like, no, we have to wait right here because when they come in, we got to tell them.
So now wait. So I'm coming. So Lisa is hanging out with London at the lake. I go, Lisa, I'm done. I'm going to go back to the cabin. I'll meet you when you guys are done. So I jog off to the cabin 4 hours later. Meanwhile, not thinking anything would be of any urgent news because we had an agreement that she wouldn't take the test. I walk in, they're both standing there. They got this weird little game there. Like, they play games and tricks on me. So
well,
I think
we're in North Carolina. I'm like, how, by the way, I am no Susie homemaker. All right. I'm looking up ideas. His mom is like, you could send him on a scavenger hunt. I'm like,
meanwhile,
not
my
happening.
Mother knows. By the way, my mother, that's another thing. My mother already knew. I walk in the door. I want to just tell from my perspective. I walked in the door and you hand me a box.
A popcorn box.
And they're both got these grins on their face. By the way, truth be told, I had not a single clue because we had an agreement. So I look at this popcorn box and they go, open it. They're both looking like so giddy. And I'm like, well, whatever. So I open the popcorn box. I think they're going to a snake's going to jump out. And it's the pregnancy test. And I was just like, yo, that's cool.
No, he was not. He sobbed his eyes out.
It's not true.
Bawling.
I was emotional. I did not sob.
All right, I'll post the video of you crying later.
If you post that fucking video, I'll
no, really.
It.
He's beside himself, hugging me, being like, is it really happening? For a second, I was like, are you upset about it or are these happy tears?
No. By the way, I was very emotional. I don't even remember because it was so shocking because it's not like we took it together and I was ready for it. I just opened a popcorn box thinking they were tricking me. And I was so happy. You know I was happy. And then it was like, and then your mom came about 30 minutes later. We said her. She cried. Everybody cried. It was a big celebration. And from that moment on, I was like, this is, for me, I'll tell you why it was even more special. Camp Highlander, the camp that I went to as a child, and then my kids go to.
Who we did an entire episode about, you guys. If you go back and listen, we literally have a full episode of Give Them Lala with Randall talking about how epic Camp Highlander is.
But I want to take it
so
back.
To say he loves it and it's his happy place is a little bit of an understatement.
But you know what's crazy? I wanted to take the test there originally because I wanted it to be positive at camp because I thought, how magical. This mountain gave me so much love and so much security in my life. And I was like, you know what? But if it's negative, it'll always remember it being negative. So I was like, fuck that. We're not ruining this mountain. And I come back and it was positive. And now that camp is even like our baby will go to this camp when it's 6 years old.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's the child's magical. Not even born and you're talking to me about sending it away for 2 weeks. I'm like, not happening. That's cute.
I signed him up already. He's in a 6 week session.
I love it. All I know is.
Let me tell you this, baby. That day, no bullshit. That day was so beautiful and so magical. And I just want to say that the way you surprised me was so perfect with Riley. It was flawless.
Are you going to cry a little bit?
No.
Okay. I won't put you on the spot.
It was just beautiful. It was everything it was supposed to be. And God was definitely shining down that day. And it was what it was supposed to be.
It really was. And I think I wanted to take it on my own Because if it would have been negative, like, I just would have told Randall, like, by the way, it's negative. Like, we have to try again, you know, and figure out the ovulation dates or whatever.
No, what you would have done is you would have woke me up again at 3 a.m. at 4:48 a.m. on September 16th and say, let's go, attention. So it would have been, it wouldn't have been as. But
I just, like, the fact that I got to share that moment with Riley was like the best day ever. It was the cutest, sweetest thing. She was beyond excited. And I would, like, go inside just because you're bored. And I would walk out and see her, and she was sitting on the chair just, like, waiting for you to come home. She would not even go upstairs to get dressed. She sat for 4 hours in a bath towel.
I didn't even know outside. I didn't even know this.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something. We were out for 4 hours, archery, lake, all that. So I'm just thinking, like, to 4 hours waiting. I mean, I couldn't have done what you did. Like, if I was getting a pregnancy test, I would be sprinting to you like, we did it. But no, that takes a lot of control. So it was beautiful because it was us, and it was that moment, and I'll always remember it forever.
Aw, I love you so much.
Well, I am equally excited that we get to share this surprise, and you're going to obviously share it with Lisa, somebody that had such a big effect on your life. And I think that it just brings life full circle. You know, I always say that in business and life, we're always coming full circle in some aspect. And I feel like today, you know, you were a host at Sir, and now you're having a baby. And Lisa, who gave you just an incredible opportunity, you know, in your career to jumpstart it.
Yeah, she saw someone who was 23 years old, a little bit of a loose cannon, really living her best life, to someone who came into her own and now is, like, having her own baby. It's pretty intense and crazy.
I am very excited for us, but I'm also very excited for you and Lisa to have this moment. And without ado, we're going to take a quick break. And then you are going to bring us back with the great Lisa Vanderpump.
Love it. We are back with my queen bee, Miss Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah! Hey! So good to see you.
We miss you.
I miss you too. I mean, at first it was actually like a bit of a break from everybody and all the crazy. But now I really miss your naughtiness.
Yes. I'm so happy that you say that, because I kind of miss my naughtiness too. I look in the mirror and I'm like, what's happened to you? You're so normal now.
Well, you started to go on the normal trajectory in the last year or so, okay?
Direction. By the way, Lisa, I agree with that. 12 months she's been on that trajectory. No more. No more.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I kind of knew her before you did, really. So, that's true. I've got all the juice.
Okay, let's TMI.
Yeah, Lisa knew when I was living my best life. I didn't give a damn.
Your best life is with me.
Well, I always had a very soft spot in my heart for Lala. And even when she kind of left for a little bit, I kind of chased her back in, you know? I always knew you were capable of great things.
Lisa, I just love and adore you for saying that. And you know, it's funny, before you came on, you really did, you know, you're the reason why I am not Lauren from Utah anymore, and that I'm freaking Lala Kent, because you gave me an opportunity that changed my entire life. So I want you to know that I'm extremely grateful for you, and I always have so much love in my heart for you.
You know what? I really appreciate you saying that, because I do feel I've given a lot of youngsters, you know, such a good platform, and sometimes they don't always appreciate it. But I tell you what, Lala, you would be going places with or without me.
No, you would.
You're that kind of girl. You know, you're bright, you're beautiful, and it would be rude if you didn't go somewhere, because, you know, you're who you are. You've got to make the most of it, right?
I agree.
Gosh, I love you for that.
I want to say something, Lisa. You know, you have become, you and Ken, obviously very good friends of ours. You've been, when all the stuff about me going on the show, not going on the show, you were always a friend of me. You always made me feel comfortable and made me feel safe, and finally got to a place where you said to me, it's time, you need to do this and it will be okay. And you did.
Well, because, you know, you were like a figment of Lala's imagination. You know, we can only talk about somebody for so long and then they have to make an appearance. And the more important you became in her life, the more important it became to the show. So then I felt that she was taking heat because you weren't part of it. Because it's like, people are never interested in what you've got to say. They're interested in what you've got to hide.
Right.
They always want the secret. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was good that you actually finally came out of the reality closet.
Yeah, right. Randall had to learn that the hard way. Where, like, I would tell him, I'm like, because no one knows, like, if you're made up or not, people are really dying to know who you are. Now they know who he is, and it's like,
people, no one cares now. Yeah, that's great.
You know, his Instagram following is slowly creeping up.
They embraced you, though. People embraced you. They really did.
Yeah, they did.
And also, you were getting a bad rap from James when he was in his psycho phase, you know? And he was kind of saying, like, it was a difficult, you know, at that time, kind of playground to kind of jump into.
It was. It was a different time. And I think when I came in, everybody was kind of leveling off, and people really embraced me. And you were right. Had I maybe gone on a few years before, maybe it would have been easier. But at the end of the day, I just, my whole life was behind the scenes, and it was just what I knew.
Well, also, your life was more complicated then, and everything probably needed to settle down before you could. Yeah.
True.
Would you say your life is less complicated now?
Well, it could only get more complicated with Lala.
Yes. So I like to make things very difficult, dramatic. I crave like a dramatic moment because, you know, I grew up in the arts.
Hey, where's your nails?
I don't have them.
Oh my God, you're going to be so proud of mine. Look, mine is natural and grown and...
Oh my gosh.
I haven't seen a manicure in months.
Wait, you did that on your own?
I did it all on my own. Wow. I'm doing everything on my own.
It's insane to me. Lisa Vanderpump is wealthy AF and she does all this shit by herself. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. She's like in her restaurants with the flowers. I'm like...
She used to be before COVID.
Right.
I'll tell you what, 5 months of paying rent and insurance and this and having no business is taxing, stretching. You know, it's a bit of a nightmare, but we'll get back on track soon.
I just want to say something, and I'm leading up to. So I had called you and I had said to you that we just have a little surprise, not a big deal, but we wanted to surprise you on the podcast.
You always have a surprise, Randall. Where are we going?
We're going on a trip. You've won a trip to Bermuda. No, we could do that too. But I just want to say that, you know, obviously when we started the podcast and you'll hear, I was telling Lala that, you know, you changed her life. I mean, single-handedly giving her the opportunity to be on your show, be in your restaurant, all that stuff has changed her life forever. And I feel like, you know, something beautiful happened to us and Lala wanted to share it with you first before anybody else. So I leave the floor to Lala Kent.
So after 4.5 years that we've been together of a lot of ups and downs, Lisa Vanderpump, I am having a baby. Yeah.
Baby! Oh my goodness! A little baby Emmett!
Yeah!
Oh my gosh, how exciting for you guys. A pink one or a blue one, do we know?
We do not know yet. 2 weeks, we'll know that.
2 weeks.
Oh, so how many weeks are you?
Oh, we're new. We're fresh. We're just approaching 10 weeks.
Oh, you know what? It makes me want to cry, but I don't want to cry because my eyelashes will fall off.
Oh, I sob about everything, Lisa, and I'm like, I there used to be reasons why I would cry. Now I just break down for no reason.
Oh, how many weeks are you exactly now?
I'm like a couple days shy, I believe, of 10 weeks.
About 10 weeks.
Are you feeling sick?
I feel nauseous. I only crave cornbread and Diet Coke. And watermelon. So it's
okay.
Well,
you're
really
not
awesome.
Drinking Diet Coke for a start.
Okay.
In fact,
so
I just saw you
this.
Drinking some Diet Coke. A little bit of that, but not too much.
And she's been Lisa. She threw up a bunch of times this last week. It's been the worst I've seen. She's been sick, and it's, you know.
I can relate to that. I know what that's like. That was a nightmare. I spent the first 3 months of my head down the toilet with Pandora. I know what that's like. But you look fabulous.
Well, thank you. I mean, my hair is getting thicker, which is great. My nails grow like weeds because the prenatals. So I was just really excited because I feel like my life is changing, and I feel like you're just a huge part of my life and have been in my life since I was a little child, I feel. And now I'm giving birth to a baby in like a few months. That is crazy.
Well, you know what? I'm really happy for you. And I think that this is perfect because I felt sad for you, the fact that the wedding was delayed and, you know, that. So, yeah, this is great. So, you know what? I remember the last time I spoke to you and you were in some awful, ugly pajamas. Like, and I said, oh my God. I said, he's clearly not going to sleep with you if you were wearing
so. Lisa,
he doesn't care then.
I know. Can I tell you, I wear less clothing when I go out in public than I do when I go to bed, which is weird. I should be like dressing sexy for bed, but I'm like, no.
Lisa,
zit cream and flannels.
Lisa, feel free to give her some advice.
She's probably the only girl that wears her underwear to bed and not out to a barbecue.
Yeah, well, that's true.
She came here?
Yeah, I do. I wear little to no clothing out in public to show everyone else that what they're not getting. But it's all pretend. Randall ain't getting this either.
What?
Well, clearly he's
it's
had
a
one.
Joke.
I got it one time.
I feel I like we a, have yeah. a really healthy sex life.
We do, and I love
well, you.
You
must have rocket fuel in there, Randall, if you only did it once.
Yeah!
I mean, the fact that we only tried for...
One month.
It was, yeah.
Basically 1 month.
Really?
She went off the IUD, and then she had this little clock timer, and she's like... It's 3 o'clock on the 11th. Let's go right now. And that was
and
it.
You can perform like that? You're that kind of man?
I'm a rock star.
With a good enough blow job, he can do a lot of cool stuff.
Okay. Come on, we're talking about our
I
newborn.
We're keeping it clean. Remember, I'm like your mother.
Lala, we are talking about our newborn.
I know. I have a few months to like whip myself into shape and become a classy
mom.
You
know what they say? The baby can hear your voice in there right now. Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. I heard that it was only the tone of the voice, not what you're saying.
Well, I probably don't think your baby knows what a blowjob is. But I think we need to start the way we mean to go on. And apparently... When you're pregnant, all this, you know, calm and like talking to your baby, it's all about that. None of the mass hysterics or hysteria.
Lisa, I have a question. Can you give us, because obviously you've raised children successfully.
Yes.
What advice do you give Lala, soon to be mother?
Oh, I love this.
Like, what should she know? What are some tips that to look, you know?
Oh, wow. Well, this is a much bigger conversation, but it really is. But you know what? When I was pregnant with Pandora, I really wasn't that familiar with babies. I babysat as a teenager, but it's not like I had any younger brothers or sisters. My brother was 16 months older than me, you know? And I thought, what am I going to do with a baby? I really thought, what am I going to do with this baby? And I didn't even really want a baby. I wanted a piece of Ken. You know, it was just that I was so crazy in love.
Right.
So I had this baby and I remember thinking, what am I going to do with this baby? Within 24 hours, I was like, what am I going to do without this baby? That was the bonding. I really felt like that. Your whole life changes so much and everything's put in perspective. But, you know, like savor every moment. I think video as much as you can. Take as many pictures because you think you're going to remember every moment and you don't because it all goes by and it's all so overwhelming. But, you know, I don't think you should perpetuate cycles at all. You know how you often talk about when I was younger, this happened to me. And, for me, I wasn't in a tactile relationship with my parents. They were very English. They didn't kiss me, bite me, cuddle me that much. So I wanted the opposite for my kids. Yeah. I got into bed with them every night. There was not one part of their body, that was untouched by me, even to the point of indecency. I made them Pandora. I'd make her bend over and I'd bite the back of her knees. I was a very, very physical mother. So you know what I'm like with my dogs. And you're like that with your dogs. You know, you're very loving, very tactile. And I think you're probably going to be that kind of mother as well. You'll love it.
I think I'll be obsessed because even just the sonogram that I, you know, the few that I have, it looks like a bean. And I'm like, oh, it's perfect.
So cute.
Yes, but it's so funny that you bring the dogs up because when I look at Lily before I got pregnant, I used to look at her and I'm like, how could I love anything more than I love this dog? Like,
oh,
I not
no,
even a child.
I was like that too.
Yeah.
I was like that. I was like, I had this beautiful white Samoyed and I was only 25 when I had Pandora. And I was just like, I'm going to love you and you will always be first place. And I said to Ken, the baby's going to be second place. And as soon as I had the baby, I was just like, down.
Right.
So you've got to be very careful with that. But Ken was actually a really good father as well. You know, with Pandy and Max, he was very, very hands-on. And I do think if you go into it with the understanding that things aren't, you know, going to be perfect. There are challenges, just like any big shift or in your dynamic of your relationship. There can be time when, you know, you're tired and everything's disrupted and physically everything's, you know, leaking here and this and your hoo-ha and all that stuff. But even though it's the best time of my life, but it's very kind of uprooting. And that's the time you really need his support.
I love that. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. And then I'm going to ask you what Randall can do to help this baby mama out. We'll be right back. We are back with my favorite woman of all time, besides my own mama, Lisa Vanderpump. Hello, my love.
I'm not your second mama.
You are like my second mama. That's pretty badass.
I'm
it's like, who is your second mom? Lisa Vanderpump. Heard of her? It's like badass.
You know, I think, as we were talking about just before we kind of broke, you know, it's very important that you do realize, you go into this and you realize that everything changes. Your priorities change. You know, every single thing, every aspect of your life will change.
Right.
And I don't think you should put too much pressure on yourself to think that it's got to be the fairy tale. You've got to understand that. And I think, you know, also, because sometimes the men also feel, as much as you want their support, sometimes they feel pushed into second place.
Right.
Randall is very much a baby and likes your undivided attention.
I can't even get it now. Lisa, I can't even get it now.
Right,
between the
right.
dogs, between the dogs and her mother, I'm like third place. So, right. you know, I'd just like to be in second would be great.
Well, you're going to be lucky if you're going to be in the top 10 after this.
That's amazing.
you know what? I think you've got to understand that it's your baby together, you know,
right.
and Ken isn't demanding like that. He's kind of, so I was a little bit, you know, he would come in and he'd be like, ooh, doo, 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 and I'd be like, hi, I'm over here.
Oh my gosh. So it was like, yeah. kind of like the opposite where Ken, it was like, hey, remember me?
Yeah.
So you said that Ken was very hands-on and I've seen Randall be a dad to his two girls.
Your girls are gorgeous, by the way.
They're
Your
insane.
Girls are gorgeous, lovely girls. I spent time with them on the plane, yeah.
Yeah,
the best.
That's right.
How did Ken balance being a husband, now a new dad, and his business and make that all work?
Well, I mean, Ken was lucky, like Randall, that he has autonomy in his life, so to speak. He can make the decisions. You know, I mean, of course, some things have to be done, but it's not like you're in a kind of 9-to-5 job where you have to defer to other people. So we could kind of, you know, create our own schedule, even though some things obviously were, you know, commitments. But I think it was the biggest shift to me. I remember our relationship changing a bit. And in one way, it's you have to adjust because, you know, the nights and things like that and having a baby in the bed and the constant demand. But there's something other that's so incredible. You don't just feel like you're in a relationship. You feel like you're a family. There's something about it that changes. And I think you're just going to love it. You're going to be a lovely mother. As I say, I think you can see how people are. A lot of people are. You know, as the maternal instincts, the way they interact with animals and, you know,
yep.
and I know, well, you see what Ken's like with Jiggy. That's yes. a great example.
Yeah, because he babies your dogs like they're children.
Yes. And we did have disagreements. Like Ken would, you know, I think with the children growing up, I was probably a little stricter, whereas Ken, especially Pandora being the first girl, because he had a son.
Right.
You know, prior, like his son was 15 when I met him. He'd been divorced and he had his son, custody of his son. So he knew a lot more about kind of raising babies and children than I did. But yeah, he spoiled them a little bit.
I don't do that.
He's going to be like that. He wanted to be the good guy all the time.
Babe, I'm not
oh,
like that.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That is Randall.
Yeah, you're going to be the good guy. Lala's going to be the bad guy. I can see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. It's already like that.
Oh, I'm the worst.
As a stepmom, I'm like, go to Target, buy everything. And Lala's like, one thing each.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely, I respect Lala because I know that she's very discipline in that respect, and that's going to be great for me because she's been really great with my girls and helping me be more disciplined, because I'm very similar to Ken. I'm like, I want to just be winning all the time.
Feel like kids in Beverly Hills can get spoiled very quickly and not understand how hard it is to make a dollar to go out and buy things. So when I watch Randall just like spending money on things that is, I'm like, they need to know that, that it's hard to go out and just buy things.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Mama has a job, so I'm allowed to buy whatever I want.
Hey, yeah. No, I agree with you. Well, you see my kids. You saw them, you know, you see Max waiting tables.
Yeah.
You see Candy waited tables all through college. I had a job since I was 13. I think you do them a favor, instill values. But you know what? That's going to come so much later. You don't need to worry about that.
No, I don't need to worry about that.
The first year, just kiss that little pumpkin. What are you hoping for? Are you hoping for a boy or a girl?
Healthy.
I know. So if we're being like, you know.
If we have a perfect, healthy child.
Yes. I would like a boy. I've always pictured myself having a boy first. And I feel like I have two girls already. I get to do the girly thing.
Yeah.
I can't. We need more male energy in the house. There's a lot of girls wanting to play with Lala's weave and her makeup. And it's like, I need a boy. I need some trucks around, a football. I don't know.
Well, you see, when I was pregnant with Pandora, I wanted a girl so badly. Ken said, you want the girl so badly that baby will change sex inside of you. And everybody said, oh, the way you're carrying is going to be a boy. And I was like, no, I want a pink one. I think it was more about being pink. It was either going to be like a girl or a gay boy. You know, it just had to be. I was going to dress it in like a pink fluffy suit regardless, you know.
Right.
So when I had cesarean, and so, you know, I was awake through the whole thing, and they literally went, is a girl. I remember it was just, but at that time, it wouldn't have mattered, you know, when it really comes to it. But ideally, that's what I wanted. I think that was because Ken, like Randall, he had two girls. Ken had a boy, and so I wanted to give him a daughter. And they were all boys in our family.
And then little baby Pandora.
Yeah.
And you know what? You're so right about what you said, how Max waited tables, Pandora works her butt off with your companies that you have.
Everything.
And I remember on one of the episodes, you were like, no, Max is not a manager. What, he just gets to be a manager because he's my son?
Yeah.
Work a little harder and maybe you'll get promoted. It was freaking awesome.
Oh my God, I've been criticized so much about so many things and I don't care because, you know, all through COVID, Max has been in Idaho working with autistic children and really, you know, working with two autistic young people. And he's been, you know, he's just a very giving person. He's a very kind person. Now he's volunteering at the Vanderpump Dog Foundation. But I don't know. It's just how you raise them. It's so important that you instill those values. You really give them the best chance in life. And for me, spoiling them, I mean, of course I spoiled them. But I remember I got so much crap on Housewives. I shouldn't even talk about this because it's going to bring the crap up again. But I don't care. Bring it, everybody.
Yeah, spill the tea, because Lisa.
When his electricity was cut off, and they were like, well, I said, no, I work all the time. I work really hard. And, you know, you can pay your own electricity bill. And I'm sorry, if you've got to light a candle and take a cold shower until like, if you're only working four shifts a week, no, you go do it. And a lot of people criticize me for that, but I don't care. I'm like, my kids have been spoiled. They've always got a place to come to. I love.
They've always got a roof over their head and they've always,
yes. And now I did buy them both, you know, gave them the deposit for a place to live and they both have a mortgage. You know, that's Pandora awesome. And Jason have a mortgage and Max has a mortgage. I just gave them, you know, a start, but I like them to have their responsibilities. I think it's the best thing you can do, but not when they're just born, Lala. You do not need to tell them to go get their own.
The second it comes out, you better start earning your keep.
Exactly.
Get out there and get a job.
Are you going to breastfeed?
Oh, I want to do it all. I just want to turn into a cow, you know?
Totally.
And you know, I feel very grateful that it did not take me very long to get pregnant. I have friends that have been trying to get pregnant for years. And then, you know, you just think when you have a baby, you're going to breastfeed. And there are women who their baby just cannot seem to attach. Yeah. And they feel like the bond isn't there. There's like so many things that you just think are going to happen. I'm going to get older, have a baby, breastfeed, do the whole thing. And so I just like, I want to take it. Yeah. I would love to have just a very easy experience being, you know, a human cow.
Oh, it's never easy, darling.
Well, you know, like the baby is like right on the nipple.
When your legs are
all
in the air and then you're puffing and panting. I mean, I breastfed and it was very easy for me. And thank God for that. But only for a few months, you know, but it was good.
Oh yeah. These women that have their baby on the tit at like literally a year and a half, I'm like, this is getting a little weird. We should try to wean him off now.
When they're opening your shirt, the buttons, and standing up to do it, you're like, oh, oh, God.
That is so funny.
I know. But you know what I'm all about? You've got to do what's right for you. You've got to do what's right for your family, you know. And I think everybody kind of makes different choices, and that's good too. But I'm very happy for you. And, you know, it's good to see you kind of looking.
Well, we're excited that you got to share this moment with us.
Yeah.
Who else knows?
I mean, I would just say my close friends and family, not very many people.
I'd say probably six people total, like recently, just because, you know, we weren't sure and we want to make sure everything was healthy. But that's it. I mean, you're probably you're number seven probably. And,
oh, you know, bless you.
And that was just family. So, you know, a couple.
And you, have you had any tests or not? Have you just had a blood test?
Yes, I did my blood work. Everything seems to be looking great.
The
and now I just.
The heartbeat, how it's above and healthy.
The heartbeat is fantastic. And now I just sit here and pray every day that everything goes smoothly. And I just deliver a healthy child in April.
Yes.
Oh, April. So probably be a Taurus, maybe Taurus.
Which, by the way, the birthstone for an April baby is a diamond. So you know what I've been asking for my push present? Diamonds.
Oh, really? What?
Of course.
You don't have enough? What's
no.
that thing on your
Lace
finger
me.
Now?
Lace me. Oh, this old thing? This old thing?
That old thing?
I'm just kidding.
He's sweating. Look.
Yeah. All right. So I have a couple questions because I know, you know, in COVID, we've all been doing different things and you're normally wrapped with Vanderpump by now on to six other shows. But I saw in the trades you had announced a new show that you're doing. So I'd love to just hear a few things about what you have going on. New dog show.
Oh, what with Peacock?
Yes.
Yeah. Vanderpump
yes.
Dogs. Well, there's just so much story there because every day there's a different poignant story or heart. Well, you know that, Lala. You've
yes.
been there. So it's going to be a show, on Peacock. And it will be about all the individual stories, about the people, about the dogs and their past and trying to, you know, match the right dog with the right person. And there's a lot of very interesting people out there that, you know, come to, I mean, you saw we've been involved with the veteran program and things like that, training dogs. So I just think it would be a beautiful show because having lived it, the experience and being part of it and the incredible team I have at Vanderpump Dogs, I just think there's just so many stories to tell. So yeah, I think it was a natural kind of progression for us. And it's very exciting.
Wow.
I'm
that.
Thrilled
That's
about
really
this
neat.
New show. I mean, you take anything Vanderpump and already it turns to gold. And then you throw puppies and dogs in and I'm like, okay, you got me hooked.
Yeah.
Well, it's a show that you and I would definitely watch, Lala.
Oh, of course.
Because all those stories and the things that we've seen over the years. And I just think, it's a feel-good factor show. Of course, there's going to be some very kind of, you know, moments sometimes that can be difficult in rescue, of course.
Right.
I mean, some of the things we've seen have been extraordinary, the way people, you know, have treated animals in the past, that's what a rescue center does and is and steps in. But a lot of feel good stories. And
I love that.
I'm going to be happy to share that. But I've been really busy doing everything. I've just started my podcast.
Congratulations, by the way.
When does your first episode air? Do you have an air date?
I think it's going to be on the 14th of September.
Oh,
I love it.
The 15th. I
Perfect.
Know, right?
That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. It's an interesting time.
Lisa, when do you, because you're on the forefront of restaurants in Los Angeles, obviously you own a lot of restaurants in Nevada, here, whatever. When do you see the world of restaurants coming back? I mean, do you see it soon? I know outdoor eating is a very common thing, and that's where I eat.
Well, I mean, we're lucky with the fact that when we do decide to open, we have really good sized patios, which is very unusual. Like Pump is almost, you know, it's like 90% garden. Yeah. Tom Tom has two big gardens, and we'll be able to put the table and chairs outside. And Sir has a great, you know, big garden at the back, and we'll probably be able to go out on the pavement as well. So we're very fortunate with that. But we've just been waiting for it to be safe, you know, really. And when I keep seeing the numbers going up, I want every single person, do not let this be political, wear a mask, you know. It's great. Just like, unless you're tested. With my podcast, we get tested, you know, things, but it all social distancing, just be responsible, because, you know, also Ken's older than me,
right?
16 years older than me, so I'm very protective of him. We know the statistics get worse as you get older, or health conditions. I mean, he's very healthy, but, you know, it's of utmost priority. I mean, I have been very busy here. We're open in Vegas. That's, you know, kind of running probably, I mean, it's running really well, but
don't tell Randall that he'll fuel the jet and we'll go there. Yes! Just to have dinner. I mean,
no, you stay there, right? Lala, you be careful now.
I don't leave my house, Lisa. It's a rare occasion that I get out of the bed.
I'm very protective of her with COVID, more so than before. You know, we always wear masks. We're always very conservative. And we're tested every week just because of the business we're in. But now I tell her, like, babe, you must be, like, super hyper alert, because
I know. You know. Even if I've seen friends and I haven't seen that many people at all, we've been very, very isolated. And keeping this whole place going, because I'm on my own here, you can see, I mean, I do a good job, but it's like, it's a lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
The things I've been doing. I mean, God, what was I saying? I can't even remember what I was saying.
Protecting ourselves.
About Pump or Vanderpump Garden being open.
Yeah, I mean, Vanderpump Garden is open, as I say, but distancing is essential, and Caesars are doing a really good job of that. I've got so many other things that I need to start and things in the pipeline that are exciting. So I just want to get this over and done with. But, you know, if we just adhere to the guidelines and kind of, you know, stop kind of breaking the rules, I think it will pass a lot quicker, and hopefully a vaccine will be around the corner.
Well, I'm very grateful. I looked at the numbers today. Like, LA is now going down. So I just hope that we continue that trend and not go crazy and open everything up right away. Like, let's,
you know, I'm very cognizant of, you know, so many people that work for us for years. I want to make sure everybody's safe. You know, it's not just about the customers and saying, oh, if we're all safe and everything, and we're, it's about the people that work for us, you know,
right,
really, like, that put themselves. So we've just been kind of waiting,
okay,
you know, really just watching it. And we want to see the numbers kind of really slide down, because it kind of had a bit of a spike.
Big spike.
And we were
big,
just about to open. And then we think, you know, so I think soon. I think New York is looking in really good shape in terms of the virus, not with everything else.
And also Florida, which was really bad. My mother just called me and told me they've opened 50% restaurant capacity inside. So they've gone down.
Perfect.
So I'm hoping.
I think they were getting something like 2,000 a day now, compared to only a few weeks ago, they were getting 12,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. And UK is getting back to normal. I just think soon, but
okay.
It's been tough. I mean, having a business close for this long, you know, it's not just, as I said to you in the reunion, it's not just a job, it's our life.
Right.
So just being kind of inside, and I'm so lucky, because if I was going to be anywhere, it would be exactly in this house. It's been amazing, you know, with the view and everything, even though it's been a lot to keep going. But I just want to get everybody back to work. You know, I think everybody wants to get back to work. It's the malaise of being at home, boredom, you know?
Yeah.
Yes,
and
I
people
do
don't
know.
Realize the stress, because obviously I'm a business owner too. And
yeah.
It's just,
you still got to pay the rents and insurance.
You got to pay
your employees.
It's brutal.
It's crazy.
It's brutal. So I'm very fortunate. We're just getting back to work right now. And I'm saying to people, like, the appreciation, the crew, the movie that I'm shooting right now, the level of appreciation I think people have today, and I think in your world as they come back, is going to be, you're never going to take for granted going to work again. At least I will never complain about traffic or going to work.
Yeah, nothing.
It's the appreciation.
Well, I think if we also understand that you look at what kind of my parents, what they went through in their generation, you know, in the Second World War and what they had to go through and being evacuated and houses bombed and kind of, or other pandemics when 30 million people have died.
Right.
Or, you know, it's, I think if we can get through this, and this is the worst thing that we have to deal with, certainly the worst thing that I've had to deal with in my lifetime. Of course, we saw the horrors of 9/11 over here. I lived in Europe at the time. And we've seen, you know, I grew up with kind of terrorism and things in the UK. But seeing on this global pandemic has been really devastating. You know, I think it's made a lot of people, given a lot of people time for reflection of what's important. And you know, another thing, having lost my brother to suicide, and being an advocate, you know, for the kind of for the Trevor Project, I really want to encourage people. Somebody's listening to this. I was going to say, if anybody's listening to this, I feel like it's just the three of us having an intimate conversation. You know, they've got to reach out. You know, because having lost my brother, and you think, my God, you know, there are so many people. Mental health is so kind of prevalent right now.
Especially.
With people not knowing what to do. And you've got to reach out. There are people, Trevor Project or suicide hotlines, you know, reach out to people. Do FaceTime with people.
What
connect.
Is the number of the Trevor Project? Like, is there a number?
I don't know it off by heart. It's on my Instagram. I just did another PSA for them. But, you know, it's really, really, I never thought it would affect my life. But yeah, I've just been an advocate for them. And I just think, you know, this with the homeless as well, being such an advocate for, you know, it's difficult times for people. So I send everybody who's listening, watching, all my love. You know, I want everybody, and you guys, I'm so happy for you. I always said you make a great couple.
Thank you
for being such a beautiful part of our life. We love you so much.
Okay, real quick, guys.
You're a wonderful mother.
Wait, real quick. The Trevor Project is 1-866-488-7386. Again, 1-866-488-7386. If you're going through anything or have any thoughts, depression or taking your own life, please reach
LGBT
out.
LGBT hotline.
Yeah. And please reach out, call somebody, call suicide prevention. There are people that want to hear your voice and help. And it doesn't matter what you're going through.
Because this will pass. You have to always remember there is light at the end of the tunnel. That's one thing, you know, it was very difficult for me to focus on when I lost my brother. But you've got to look at that light at the end of the tunnel, and we've got to kind of walk towards it, march towards it. Anyway,
I love you, Lisa.
Thank you.
And when you said you had some news, this was the news I was hoping.
Yes.
We love that. Love it. Lisa, you're the best ever. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Lots of love to both of you. Okay. And let's see each other very, very soon.
All right. Well, that was awesome, Law. I mean, you know.
It was. It's still very surreal. And I just want to thank all of you guys who listen, you guys who watch Vanderpump Rules, those of you who follow me on Instagram.
It's okay. The tears have been flowing.
I am happy. Maybe a little too happy.
It's okay.
Your love and support means a lot to me. And I'm really excited to share my journey of becoming a mom with you guys. So I love you all very much. I hope you enjoy this episode of Give Them Lala with Randall, and be prepared because this banging bod is about to change very rapidly. I'm sorry, I still have to give them Lala.
it's Give Them Lala with baby.
Oh, you're getting the boot. You're getting the boot. I love it. We'll catch you guys next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.